the whole land and they want the Palestinian out. So if we come to that idea or understand this idea, then we have to change our strategies. Strategies that still thinking that we might have negotiations, peace negotiations with Israel, and now after the elections in America, maybe there will be some movement towards these negotiations. This is absolutely stupidity, if you like. Mm-hmm. We should know that what are the intentions of Israel. They are not going to take off the settlements. They are not going to stop the ethnic cleansing. They are not going to cease the their measurements to ethnic cleansing and to take our land. So we need to change our strategy to a fighting strategy, to a real resistance in all levels. And to remember that in 1982, the United Nations resolution allowed Palestinian, exactly the resolution says that the Palestinians have the right to resist the occupation in any way they find it appropriate. And I think now it's appropriate to use all kind of resistance against this country, which I can't call it even a country, this bunch of gangsters who are trying to do whatever they like and nobody can stop them.
I want to thank you very much, Dr. Nimr Saad from Ramallah, for giving us the clearest picture about what's going on in the occupied territories of Palestine. Thank you very much. Our solidarity with you and all the Palestinian people for their resistance towards their liberation and their return to their rightful home in Palestine. Thank you for your contribution. Now, please stay tuned next week for more from the Middle East Stream.
The Limelight.
Major powers, including allies, criticized the United States for its human rights record during a United Nations review, citing the use of death penalty, police violence against African Americans, and the separation of migrant children from their families. Activists also said on Monday, 9th of November, that the Human Rights Council's examination of the United States, the first since May of 2015, amounted to an indictment of the Trump administration's wrong policies and called for President-elect Joe Biden to usher in reforms. Dozens of delegations took the floor at the half-day session to voice concerns and make recommendations. We have prepared for you an article written jointly by staff writers of Press TV's website and the Reuters news agency under the heading U.S. Faces Rebuke at UN from Iran, Other Countries for Human Rights Record. Please stay with us to hear more. The Islamic Republic of Iran, along with several other countries, has drawn the world body's attention to the long history of human rights violations in the United States of America, urging Washington and the United Nations Human Rights Council to abandon such abuses and work instead to compensate for them. Sayed Mohammad Sadatinejad, who is in charge of the human rights issues at the Iranian diplomatic mission to the United Nations in Geneva, made the remarks on Monday, 9th of November, during the Human Rights Council's 36th session of Universal Periodic Review that examined the human rights situation in the United States. Sadatinejad set forth 9 recommendations for the U.S. delegation, which was led by the U.S. Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights and Labor Assistant Secretary Robert Destro, Ambassador in Geneva Andrew Bramberg, and Acting Legal Advisor Marek String. Sadatinejad said America should end its arbitrary and systematic killings using drones and bring to justice those who assassinated 5 Iranian citizens, including top anti-terror commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani in Iraq on 3rd of January this year. Lieutenant General Soleimani, the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, and four other Iranians were martyred in a U.S. drone strike ordered by President Donald Trump. Upon their arrival in Baghdad International Airport on 3rd of January this year. The Iranian delegation had arrived in Iraq at the invitation of the Iraqi government. The attack also killed Abu Mahdi al-Muhandes, the second in command of Iraq's Popular Mobilization Units, PMUs. The two commanders were highly popular because of their key role that they played in eliminating the U.S.-sponsored Daesh terrorist group in the region. Meanwhile, regarding arbitrary and systematic killings by American drones, Iran's judiciary chief pledged that Tehran will not back off from efforts to punish those who assassinated top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani, the commander of the Quds Force of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, and imposed sanctions on Iran, even though Donald Trump is leaving the White House with blood on his hands. Addressing a recent session of the Judiciary's Supreme Council, Sayyid Ebrahim Raisi said, "Although a terrorist that has the blood of Iran's national hero on his hands has been thrown out of the White House, the Islamic Republic will not give up the firm resolve to punish those behind the assassination of top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani and the economic terrorists who have committed crimes against Iranians by imposing sanctions." The head of Iran's judiciary, Sayyid Ebrahim Raisi, added the assassination of the prominent international figure in the war on terrorism was a cruel action not only against the Iranian nation, but against all regional and all Muslim countries. He said an example of such cruelty was a recent terrorist attack that Daesh terrorists launched at the University of Kabul in Afghanistan. The head of Iran's judiciary further explained that the ignorant terrorists that attacked the university in Kabul and martyred innocent Afghan students have been created by U.S. Democrats and employed by the Republicans. Elsewhere in his remarks, the Iranian diplomat Sayyid Mohammad Saadatinejad called on U.S. to take necessary legal and judicial measures towards ending systematic racism against minorities in the U.S., including African Americans. He also urged an end to the unilateral U.S. sanctions against other nations, which have led to serious human rights breaches. He added the U.S. should also cooperate with the United Nations Special Rapporteur on negative effects of its coercive actions. Saadatinejad further said Washington should hold the arbitrary detention of Iranians on fake charges of violating U.S. sanctions. He said the United States must end its complicity in the crimes committed by Saudi Arabia and the Israeli regime against the Yemeni people and the Palestinians, respectively, and stop selling weapons to both of those regimes. Additionally, he recommended Washington to cooperate with the International Criminal Court, the ICC, to investigate war crimes committed by U.S. military forces in Afghanistan. The top Iranian diplomat concluded the U.S. should also end the practice of separating migrant children from their parents and putting them in cages. Besides the Islamic Republic of Iran, other countries such as Syria, Venezuela, Russia, China criticized Washington's human rights record. Counselor Khola Youssef of Syria said the United States should end its executive order imposing sanctions on Syria, halting occupation of her country, hold its military personnel to account for the war crimes they have committed in Syria, and end support for various terrorist groups in the country. Also, China's representative at the United Nations Human Rights Council, Jiang Duan, cited 9 points of concern regarding the United States, among them systematic racism, politicization of the coronavirus pandemic, and proliferation of guns and military interventions abroad in other countries. The Chinese representative, Jiang Duan, said, "Stop interfering for political reasons in other countries' internal affairs under the pretext of human rights. Washington's own allies, including Austria and Netherlands and Germany, also called on U.S. to ratify various treaties aimed at guaranteeing human rights and expressed concern about racial inequalities and gun violence in the United States, among other things. According to a Reuters news agency report, activists also said on Monday, 9th of November, that the Human Rights Council's examination of the United States, the first since May of 2015, amounted to an indictment of the Trump administration's misguided policies, and called on President-elect Joe Biden to usher in reforms. Jamil Dakwa, director of the Human Rights Program at the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, told the news briefing, "What we saw today was unsurprising condemnation by many countries around the world of the United States' human rights record." Jamil Dakwa said, "We've heard country after country calling and urging the United States to take serious action to address structural racism and police violence in the U.S. The Trump administration, which quit the Geneva Forum in June of 2018, accusing it of anti-Israel bias, defended America's policies. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Robert Destro told the U.N. Human Rights Council, "Our presence in this process demonstrates our nation's commitment to human rights." The case of George Floyd, an African-American man who died in May of this year after a white police officer knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes, ignited massive protests across the United States and indeed throughout the world, putting the country's human rights record in sharp focus. Alexander Muguri, U.S. Deputy Assistant Attorney General, said authorities in Minneapolis, Minnesota had filed second-degree murder and manslaughter charges in George Floyd's death. Muguri said a number of member states raised concerns about discrimination and excessive use of force by police officers. Where there is misconduct by police officers or law enforcement agencies, state and federal law should provide remedies. Cuba and Venezuela also said the United States must provide equal access to health care during the COVID-19 pandemic. France called on the United States to hold executions at the federal level, to close down the Guantanamo Bay detention facility, and guarantee women and girls access to their rights and sexual and reproductive health. Britain called on the United States to ensure access to comprehensive sexual and reproductive health services. Joshua Cooper of the U.S. Human Rights Network, a national network of campaigners, said more than a dozen countries voiced concern at the U.S. position on family planning. Moreover, there is concern about the state of U.S. prisons. The number of U.S. prison inmates dying in the country's more than 500 top jails has climbed by more than 8% since the last official figure was released back in 2016. According to an investigative report published recently by Reuters news agency, the U.S. prison death rate surged overall in the first 3 years of the Trump administration to its highest point in the 12-year period of 2008 to 2019, after leveling off in 2016. At least two-thirds of the deceased inmates identified in the report between 2008 and 2019, that is, a total of 4,998 individuals, were still awaiting their day in court and presumed innocent when they lost their lives in jail, whilst never convicted of the charges on which they were being held. Using more than 1,500 public record requests, Reuters news agency surveyed 523 prisons for 12 years of inmate death records. All U.S. jails with 750 or more inmates as well as the 10 largest prisons in the United States. In most states across the country, which has the world's largest prison population, the resulting database represents the largest accounting of prison deaths outside the U.S. federal government. It details more than 7,500 inmate deaths in a number of jails that account for 3/5 of total U.S. prison population. According to the report, the death rate in the 523 jails soared 35% over the decade ending last year, fueled by illness, increasing number of suicides and overdoses from drugs, and alcohol abuse in prison compounds that get little oversight and sometimes provide inadequate medical and mental health services to the inmates. The report further revealed that more than 2,000 inmates took their own lives, including nearly 1,500 that were still awaiting a trial or indictment. An increasing number, more than 1 in 10 last year, died from dire consequences of taking drugs and alcohol in prison. About 300 others lost their lives after languishing behind bars, without even being convicted of an offense, for a year or more. The data further demonstrates that while officials claim the suicide rate in U.S. prisons declined over the past 3 years due to the enforcement of suicide awareness and response initiatives, the death rate from drug and alcohol abuse and overdoses surged by nearly 72% amid the country's opioid epidemic. The U.S. Justice Department's Bureau of Justice Statistics, BJS, has collected inmate mortality data for 2 decades. It issues reports with national-level data on jail deaths and some state-level numbers. But death statistics for individual jails are withheld from the public. Government officials and oversight agencies under a 1984 law limiting the release of BJS Bureau of Justice Statistics data. Meanwhile, China has censured the United States and its Western allies for violating human rights in a joint statement on behalf of 26 countries during the recent session of the United Nations General Assembly. China's ambassador to the United Nations General Assembly, Zhang Jun, further demanded the complete and immediate removal of U.S.-led unilateral sanctions on other countries during the general debate of the UN General Assembly's Third Committee on Monday, 5th of October. Also pointing to the harsh impact of the coronavirus pandemic on all nations, particularly developing countries, the Chinese ambassador to the UN, Zhang Jun, said, "We continue to witness the application of unilateral coercive measures which are contrary to the purpose and principles of the United Nations Charter and international law, multilateralism, and the basic norm of international relations." The Chinese diplomat delivered a statement on behalf of 26 countries including Angola, Antigua, Barbuda, Belarus, Burundi, Cambodia, Cameroon, China, Cuba, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, Equatorial Guinea, Eritrea, Islamic Republic of Iran, Myanmar, Namibia, Laos, Nicaragua, Pakistan, Palestine, Russia, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, South Sudan, Sudan, Suriname, Syria, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe. Noting that the response to and the recovery from COVID-19 required global solidarity and international cooperation, the Chinese ambassador further emphasized that unilateral coercive measures had an undeniable impact on human rights, and they impeded the full realization of social and economic development, and hindered the well-being of the population, especially women and children, in those nations that had been targeted. Insisting that the inhuman sanctions hampered access to medicines and medical technology, medical equipment and supplies, Zhang Jun said, "This is particularly relevant in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic." Senior United Nations officials and and the international community have recognized the heavy and negative impact of these measures. Zhang Jun further pointed to the persisting racial discrimination and police violence in the United States, highlighting the police killing of George Floyd and also Jacob Blake in recent months. He said, nearly 20 years after the adoption of the Durban Declaration, instances of such brutal killings of African Americans and other vulnerable people by police officers continue to take place very regularly in the United States. The Chinese diplomat Zhang Jun stressed that such cruel treatment of minorities by law enforcement authorities serve as a reminder that chronic and deep-rooted racial discrimination and police brutality are very much alive in the United States. He said the COVID-19 mortality rate was disproportionately higher among minorities, and in particular people of African descent in some countries. Zhang Jun said the detention of refugees practiced by Western countries also constitutes a form of racial discrimination. The senior Chinese diplomat added, "We also express our deep concern over the health situation of migrants at immigration detention centers in certain countries that reflects a contemporary form of racial discrimination."
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
ربنا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatul Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's dua during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. We were discussing verse number 5, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam teaches us how to express our difficulty before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the expression that Imam uses here, you come to realize that this is an expression of desperation, because obviously, as we said, that if a person hides the afflictions that he is having, or for example, a person is patient over the razaya, the losses that he has incurred, then this is from the kunuzil jannah, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says, this is from the treasures of Jannah. And therefore, a person should express problems, or can express problems, when the difficulty is intense. And if you look at the wording of this verse, it tells us that the problem is not a small problem. وَقَدْ نَزَلَ بِي يَا رَبِّ وَقَدْ نَزَلَ and indeed قَدْ نَزَلَ here the word قَدْ is for emphasis. وَقَدْ نَزَلَ and indeed on me has befallen, O my Lord, something the weight of which has distressed me. مَا قَدْ تَكَ Adani thiqluh. You see, the word taka'adani thiqluh, all these reveal that it is not a small problem. It is a thing that is weighing down on a person. So he is in a state of desperation. He is in a state of problems. See, it's not like, okay, sometimes you have a problem and you are continuing with the situation, but then it is not weighing down on you. You can bear it. Here the problem is intense.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatul Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
and then Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam continues and says, wa alamma bi ma qad bahadhani hamluh, and I have been visited with something the load of which has indeed weighed on me. Again, qad bahadhani, the word qad shows that it is an emphasis. So this is one thing that perhaps we can get from this verse, And that is, you know, when it comes to the state of desperation, is when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond to you. Obviously, you must realize the fact that there are a group of servants, according to mystic scholars, there are a group of servants who do not supplicate except after having known that when is the right time of supplication, because they have a whole picture of when what is to transpire. So whenever is the right time of supplication, they are going to supplicate. Like Prophet Ayyub, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, the great Prophet Ayyub, he went through the problems that he went through. But when the time came of asking Allah, when the time came of supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve him from the problem, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a group of mystical scholars or spiritual wayfarers who supplicate and ask Allah for some things, because sometimes in order to get that thing that they want, supplication is a condition, but they are not sure whether this thing that they want from Allah, is it with supplication or without supplication they will get. So out of precaution, they recite dua, they call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they are given what they ask for, because the condition of getting what they want was supplication. So we have different levels. We also discussed in brief about these great people. Now here you find that وَقَدْ تَكَأَدَنِي ثِقْلُهُ وَأَلَمَّ بِي مَا قَدْ بَهَضَنِي حَمْلُهُ. And indeed on me has befallen, O Lord, something the weight of which has distressed me, and I have been visited with something the load of which has indeed weighed down on me. So it is as if you are in that state of difficulty and desperation. And as we mentioned, that the Holy Quran tells us, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. One of the conditions of the acceptance of dua for a group of people is that the mere state of desperation that is there, makes the person get what he wants. But he should come to that level of desperation and express that desperation. So this is something that is noteworthy in this verse. And inshallah, we will look at the next verse, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam then continues and says,
وَبِقُدْرَتِكَ أَوْرَدْتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَبِسُلْطَانِكَ وَجَّهْتَهُ إِلَيْهِ.
Through your power, you brought it on me, and through your sovereignty, you directed it to me.
وَبِقُدْرَتِكَ أَوْرَدْتَهُ عَلَيَّ وَبِسُلْطَانِكَ وَجَّهْتَهُ عَلَيَّ.
Inshallah, we will discuss about this in our next session in detail. But in brief, the supplicant here, after having expressed the problem that he is facing, and you see, also perhaps expressing it 100%, expressing it the way Imam is expressing is the best way, because he has not yet mentioned any kind of predicament specifically. He's taking it generally. One of the advantages of that is that sometimes a person has many problems, many predicaments, and that is weighing down on him, many kinds of losses. And therefore, this general statement encapsulates all these problems. But then the next verse actually is like trying to say that I am surrendering to what you are doing on me, because everything is in your hands. Inshallah, we will continue with our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
Food for thought.
Salam. And here is another thought-provoking saying for our guidance from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Live amongst people in such a manner that if you die, they weep for you, and if you're alive, they crave for your company.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, peace and salutation of Allah be upon all of you. Salam, this is today's special, and we're going to speak about entertainment in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Friday, is the 27th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of the month of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. A good suggestion for you at the first step of today's special. We'll listen to Surah Al-Fatir, Verse 44. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Awalam yasiru fil ardi fayanzuru kayfa kana 'aqibatu alladhina min qablihim wa kanu ashadda minhum quwwah. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا.
Have they not traveled through the land and observed how was the end of those before them? And they were greater than them in power. But Allah is not to be caused failure by anything in the heavens or on the earth. Indeed, he is ever knowing and competent.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
None should become proud of his power, since there have been many more powerful people than them who have been destroyed, and nothing can overcome the will of Allah. This verse invites the guilty polytheists to study the traces of the former nations and the fate which they afflicted with. This is for the sake that whenever they have studied in the history about those nations, they would see by their eyes in the lands belonging to them, and they would observe those things among their effects, so that they actually see what they have studied in the statements. Entertainment in Islam. That is today's special's topic. Looking at the Islamic way of entertainment, what? Does that mean entertainment is allowed in Islam? Of course it is. However, it consists of stipulations which are to help in the betterment and growth of individuals. However, must not forget the rules. Even in the social gatherings, there are certain rules that one must follow. One example is that while joking, one should not speak falsely about anything. One would assume that it is a simple rule to follow, but it actually covers a wide range of topics. For instance, gossip. Although it is very entertaining to take part in such activities, one must refrain from such habits as it can become very harmful for the society and first for our souls. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the recreation and enjoying oneself in everyday life as depicted in Islam. Now we find that there are some, in order to sum up, we find that there are several aims out of receiving recreation according to Islamic sources. One of them is receiving lessons and receiving advice from the faiths and history of other people. We find that the type of instruction and the type of attitude explicated and supported in the Islamic religion from having a historical outlook isn't just, I mean, to be informed about the history of bygone people just for the sake of being informed about it. Rather, the prime aim is just to be informed about the fate, I mean, what they did so that they had those certain ends up. In the Holy Quran, we find that there are accounts of many bygone nations, okay? Many people who showed dissidence against the divine prophets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispatched to them. And in many cases, we find that there are indications of the dissidence of and the oppositions and so on. So we find that the Holy Quran, as the intact word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recounts the stories, experiences of other nations, not for the sake of being a history book. Rather, it's for the sake of giving instruction, moral instruction to other people, because the same undesirable end and undesirable experience may befall other nations if they go the same way. So we find that this is one aspect of recreation. I mean, recreation sought out of receiving a historical education and awareness. Another one is making other people happy, or I mean trying to make other people happy. Another one is for discharging our intellectual discharging or purgating our feelings. Another purpose of recreation in Islam is prohibiting people from being drowned in the abysm of undesirable types of addiction, like, for example, addiction to drugs.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
What is forbidden or haram fun? It's an important question. The type of entertainment that a Muslim chooses should not be against the laws of Islam, such as modesty. And a Muslim should not have an aimless pleasure. And as mentioned in the Holy Quran, chapter 28, verse 76, indeed Allah does not like the boasters. Any entertainment related to gambling is forbidden, haram, simply Because in gambling, there is haram for at least one person. Also, all kinds of entertainment that divert our attention from a godly life are forbidden. Haram. The least useful that a form of entertainment should have for a Muslim is to refresh his or her soul and to strengthen his or her body.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة
Forms of halal entertainment. Today, we look at hanging out with the right crowd. Your friends either make you or break you. The Prophet said every person follows the religion of his best friends, so be careful whom you befriend. Since we are all social beings, hanging out and socializing will be high on our list of ways of having fun. Yet, it is so important to have the right friends. Your friends are the ones who encourage you to pray or to skip the prayer and catch a movie. They are the ones who tell you your hijab looks beautiful or that it makes you look old. In the end, whom you choose to hang out with makes the biggest difference in who you become. Sadly, today we have an added problem in that having fun is looked up as haram. As a result, some practicing Muslims in this country are boring, so it is even harder to find a good friends here who are practicing yet cool and fun. But they do exist. You just have to look in the right places, hang out with those crowds. You will become a better Muslim and have an awesome time at the time.
The second type of entertainment, my dear brothers and sisters, that we have also many references to in our ahadith, is playing cards of gambling. What is the position of the religion of Islam when it comes to any game and gambling? Any game, any card game, board game that involves money and betting, we have clear hadiths about that. Because this is a type of gambling, and it also creates an addiction in the human being. So anything that involves betting, my dear brothers and sisters, this is considered a haram. Keep that in mind. The third form of entertainment, which is very, very common, the late night gatherings. What is the position of the religion of Islam when it comes to such gatherings? The first aspect is the excessive smoking. That's number one. Two is the time spent in these gatherings. Again, I'm not here to lecture you about smoking, but we have an Islamic principle called La Dharar, the law of no harm in the religion of Islam. The law of no harm states anything that's excessively harmful to your body is outlawed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think you own your body. Your body is a trust, amana given to you by your creator. Allah says use your body, but don't abuse it. Anything that causes you to abuse your body is impermissible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.